And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Thing, that Rockwell thing is inside of the interest of a lot of people. So when we had the anniversary of it, I actually, I think it was 98, I actually went back and read the documents from the government. I'm convinced that that wasn't a UFO, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows? You didn't know the name of the city, but, you know, who knows?
We have got so much to talk about here on the podcast today, like a lot. I do want to get the podcast sponsor out quickly. The podcast is brought to you this week by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and it's just true. Thousands of people are killed every single year in drunk driving crashes. So if you've been drinking or you plan to go drinking or whatever you're doing, just get a cab, call a friend, somebody, just get a ride. Drive sober or get pulled over, and definitely make sure that you're on top of your life, because you can save yours and other people's as well.
All right, I want to try and get through as much as we can, so I'm going to kind of speed this along. Michael Mazzola joins us. He's the director of Unacknowledged, the documentary that's filmed that's on Netflix that we've been talking about for, I don't know, seems like 5-6 days now, that has to do...
It's been like a week and a half.
Week and a half now, and he's on the hotline with us now, joining us, and has agreed to talk with us on... He was on the show this morning, but that's kind of an abbreviated kind of stuff. We have on the network in a whole lot of time, but on this we have more freedom to kind of do it. And so, hey Michael, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
No, we're great. Thanks for coming back on. So when
my pleasure.
For those who don't know what the film is about, give us the 45-second version.
Well, the film is divided into three parts. The first like 25 minutes, we're just giving you a smash cut of evidence that suggests that there is something real going on here when it comes to UFOs. Then the second part is, how would something like this be kept a secret, right? So we go into media manipulation, corruption in academia, and threats and intimidation, assassinations, ridicule, stuff like that, the various tactics that have been used to keep it a secret. And then finally, in the third part, we show you why it would be kept a secret, which has to do with trying to suppress certain technologies and also something called psychological warfare.
The documentary opened my eyes to a lot of things. Listen, I've seen a lot of alien stuff, and I'd be lying to you if I tell you that I'm kind of a sucker for those. I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, but you're also a sucker for anything
any
you watch. You know, Michael,
we have to
be honest and very transparent here. If Big D watches a documentary on beekeeping, he's going to believe every word about it.
That's
so
right.
So when he came in to the studio one day, he's like, "Oh, have you seen this?" He texted me. He goes, "Did you watch what I texted you?" I'm like, "No, I haven't watched what you texted me." Yeah. "What did you text me?" "Oh, yeah, add it to your Netflix." Yeah. So, I mean, he was so passionate about it.
Yeah.
And he has bought in 1,000% on this. Yeah. And I got to tell you, I watched it and I saw it. It's funny because I knew a lot of this stuff because I'm a big conspiracy theory person anyway. And I watched the documentary and there was a lot of new information, which kind of blew my mind because I thought I knew most of the alien conspiracies that were out there.
You got some new stuff though, didn't
you? Yeah, definitely did.
And you know what? There was stuff that was happening as we were finishing the movie or just after that we wish we could have included but couldn't. You know, there's a guy named Rob Bigelow who's the billionaire head of Bigelow Aerospace, one of the biggest aerospace companies. He went on 60 Minutes right as our film was coming out, and he said aliens are real and there's a presence on Earth and the government is covering it up. And I don't care if you think I'm crazy because I'm right. Now, if you're an airline pilot and if you see a UFO, which is something that happens all the time, you actually, in your little guidebook, you actually report that sighting to Bigelow Aerospace. a private company. So it's very interesting that this guy who's deeply involved in this stuff is on 60 Minutes, and 60 Minutes is breaking their wall of silence just as our film is coming out. There's definitely a lot of stuff like that happening that suggests that we're moving towards some kind of controlled disclosure. And you know, I'm so glad that you, you know, loved the documentary and took it at face value. I'm getting a lot of feedback from people saying, you know, you just took a bunch of interviews out of context, and you know, who knows what these people were really saying, and you know, and to them, it wasn't our intention. Sorry?
You could do that, though. You could take things out of context and twist people's words.
Absolutely. I could take interviews out of context. I could fabricate documents. I could lie. I could, you know, UFO pictures could be faked. So, you know, with this film, I don't expect everybody to accept it at face value. The people who are really skeptical can go and ask their own questions and do their own research, and they'll realize that we actually were really careful with what we put in here. When I moved out to Virginia to make this movie, I spent, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in Dr. Greer's basement, where he had boxes of just thousands of CIA documents that had been leaked to him. And I had to like narrow that down to a couple hundred, and then we ended up with maybe 10 that actually made it into the film, which was really hard to do because there was so much good stuff there. But, you know, his criteria for this movie, because there's so much information on this that we didn't put in this movie, but his criteria was, if we can't back it up with multiple witnesses and a document and a picture, that we can't say it, even if we know that it's true. So we were really careful. And people who go out there and really scrutinize this, it's going to hold up.
Big D and I thought we saw a UFO one time. We were flying. We're both pilots. I don't know if you knew that. But we were flying, and we were coming across Memphis, Tennessee. And there was this floating triangle of fire. Do you remember? Obviously, Big D remembers this.
Yeah.
And and we thought we saw one finally. We're like, oh my gosh, this is our moment. So we get on the radios and we tell ATC about it, air traffic control, and we're like, hey, we see this. They didn't see it. Nobody saw it. Come to find out, it was a natural phenomenon. It was like a floating inversion of what was like a reflection. It was weird. So there are things that can be explained that way. However, your film goes so far beyond the natural phenomenon. This is like in depth because you have real people who are, you know, the heads of industry who are saying this is real. It's been hidden forever and it's time to let it out. I have to ask you, and I would be upset with myself if I didn't. Maybe you can answer this, maybe you can't. Are you part of an effort with the government to disclose this information, like a soft, like, hey, this stuff's out there now.
Like a soft launch.
Yeah, like a soft launch. Like, you know, whenever they do whenever a new restaurant opens up.
No, I got you. Like, is the Disclosure Project and Stephen Greer part of some kind of
like a government controlled,
type thing. Yeah. Coordinated disclosure? As far, this is an accusation or whatever you want to call it, that I hear very frequently. As far as I know and as far as I've observed, absolutely not. You know, Dr. Greer is not a, you know, he's pretty frustrated with the lack of cooperation that he's received over the last 25 years doing this. So if he was secretly, you know, coordinating with the government to do a soft disclosure, then it would be a real surprise to me, and I would have been fooled too. But honestly, his concern, from the very beginning, and the reason, actually the main reason he wanted to make this movie, is that he saw the signs. He saw the New York Times breaking their wall of silence. He saw Hillary Clinton out there talking about UFOs on Jimmy Kimmel and on the campaign trail. And he said, oh my God, they are moving us towards some kind of soft disclosure. And I'm afraid that that means pulling the trigger on what they've been planning since the 70s at least, which is staging an alien invasion. And I know that sounds really crazy to a lot of to a lot of listeners, but you know, we kind of break it down in the film. We absolutely, and we'll show you letters from the head of Lockheed Martin and other people. We absolutely have the technology to imitate extraterrestrial technology. And unfortunately, our government has a history of staging events as part of their psychological warfare program and manipulating people. So, you know, you got a guy named Wernher von Braun who was he invented the V2 rocket for Adolf Hitler. We brought him over after World War II. He became the head of the Saturn rocket for NASA. And on his deathbed, he was warning about exactly this, that they would try to stage this. And so so it's exactly that sort of fake disclosure that he was trying to warn people about with this movie.
Wow, that's really way out there. And I just think, on the show, I don't go that far because people can't take all of that.
Right.
It's hard. And this is just me, and I'm just being honest. I thought the film was great. I wish it had just been spent even more time on the fact that aliens are here. But it's kind of like
been.
It's kind of like, or have been. It's kind of like you guys are so used to it. So it's kind of like, okay, let's move on. This is the big picture. And we're all kind of going, wait a second. What do you mean there are real aliens? That's where we are. And then it's kind of like it gets moved past, and all of a sudden, because you guys are already talking about, because you've been talking about it for years.
Almost like you had to cram so much into the movie.
And he did.
And yeah, and that you had to kind of zip through a couple things.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we just, you know, blasted through stuff. I mean, you could have made an entire film just on what we spent maybe 20 seconds in the film talking about the moon. That could be an entire series of films.
Was that about? There's a part in the film where a guy says he was part of a conversation. He was in a room or something, and someone talked about this is the secret base on the other side of the moon. And he saw it, and he was like, there were, you know, grid like things and, you know, towers and things that kind of look like satellite dishes and spherical things.
Yep.
What was that about? Because it was really like you said, 30 seconds and
glossed
gone.
Over. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's actually, that guy's name is Carl Wolf. He's one of my favorite Disclosure Project witnesses. He was a contractor for, I believe, the NSA, and he describes going into this secure facility to repair something. And you know, there was this sort of nervous kid there who showed him this stuff that he wasn't supposed to see, and it was sort of his assessment that this guy broke his security oath and showed him the stuff so that, you know, because he just desperately wanted someone to talk to about it. That it was very lonely keeping the secret. It's a very interesting interview. By the way, all of these interviews are available on the Disclosure Project website, on the YouTube site, in their entirety for free.
Okay.
And many of them are up there for a long time, so I encourage everyone to go and soak it up. And just to address what you said earlier about sort of the really intense stuff that we get into, I know that alienates a lot of people. I read the reviews, people say, look, the movie was great, then it really went off the rails in the third act talking about this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we totally recognize that. But what we really wanted to show people, because, you know, Dr. Gray's been putting the evidence out there for a long time, and so have other people. There's no question that aliens exist, but people are still rolling their eyes at it. And one of the biggest criticisms is, well, why would anyone keep this a secret? And to answer that question, we really have to go there. We have to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I get it.
It's going to piss off a lot of people.
So during the film, what was one of your big, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happened or this is being talked about or admitted to?
That would be when Richard Doty started talking about, this guy was an intelligence officer for the Air Force, and he describes dropping off bags of cash to reporters to kill stories.
Mm-hmm.
Stories about UFOs and other national security related issues. And he said, we had every major, you know, newspaper, news reporter on our payroll.
I thought that was pretty funny when he said, and you should report this on your taxes. And then he kind of laughed. Yeah, like no one's going to do that because it's under the table cash.
Exactly. So that was a stunning admission. Because a really crucial part of this story is, again, going back to skeptics. Well, you know, why wouldn't the media have already blown this open? Well, because the major media is totally controlled, and we put a document in there that was officially released by the CIA. You know, Trump is out there talking about fake news, and he's not wrong. This document from the CIA, they brag. It says we've infiltrated every major news organization in the United States, and we can kill or change any story that we want to.
Hey,
just bragging about it.
Hey, take us back to when Dr. Greer thinks this all kind of started. I guess it would be Roswell, or as President Clinton says, Rockwell. Would it be Roswell, you think?
Well, as far as I know, as far as he knows, ET presence on this planet goes back for, you know, probably before we showed up, right? They've been here forever. But their presence intensified around Roswell, not Rockwell, because, you know, Roswell at the time had the only, nuclear-armed squadron in the world.
I thought that was interesting.
And there is this pattern, as you guys were mentioning last time, or on or maybe another time when I was listening to your first review, but they have a pattern of showing up where our nukes are and deactivating them. And we give a couple examples in the film, but there's a lot more. And there's some of the best examples. The Rendlesham Forest incident, which is one of the most famous UFO stories, which we just didn't have time to put in this film because we were just cramming so much in. That was a major nuke base. So, you know,
is that the Germany story? Or Britain?
England.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I confuse them.
That one's not in the documentary, but it's one of the most famous ones of all time. And, you know, hopefully people will watch this documentary and then start watching others and just, you know, start going down their own rabbit hole and figuring out what's true and what's not. And the Rendlesham Forest incident is one of the first incidents you'll come across.
In that instance, in that story, if I recall, wasn't it an orb? It was a circle that was kind of floating through the forest. Wasn't it a circle, an orb kind of thing?
It's something like that. And then one of the guys touched it, and he got all of this information just downloaded into him, and all the guys involved were threatened to shut up. And it's absolutely fascinating. And they have
crazy. This sounds.
I love watching so Carson. Carson is doing the. You know how like your dog, whenever you say it, like make a noise, and your dog goes and they kind of their ears do that. Yeah. Carson is over there doing those little dog things.
Yeah, because I'd never heard that story before.
You think we're crazy, don't you?
No, it's weird. I will say that last one about the guy touching this orb.
That got you, didn't it? That was like,
and
okay.
When you said it downloaded the information into him, it just...
It made you check out, right?
It's not even a check. It's like, so what does that mean? That he
wow,
was able to then just
how far
spit,
in the bubble I am.
Yeah, like, was he able to spit facts back to people that, like, and using words that maybe they'd never heard before because it was a
Farsi
technology
that,
that we're not aware with?
I mean, that's why Michael, I brought up the point of you have been living in this world. Dr. Greer has been living in this world for a lot longer than you have.
People listening to the podcast, people watching on Facebook, they aren't living in that world. Yeah. So this kind of stuff sounds like absolute BS to them. They're like, okay, yeah, whatever. That's yeah. The aliens go where our nukes are. Sure,
it's just
that's what they're hearing, you know. And I think that's the beauty of the documentary is the fact that you go and you're able to present your story and present your case and say, here's why.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I mean, it does sound ridiculous on face value, but you know the. The thing is that we've got the people who were running these facilities. You know, you had high-ranking military officials who we trusted with nuclear weapons. So, you know, we consider them sane. They have absolutely no incentive to destroy their reputation. And a lot of these guys, you know, they made it clear to us that even worse, or rather even more of an incentive than, you know, the threat of being killed is – the threat of losing your pension, not being able to get work, and being ridiculed. That's how this has been kept a secret more than anything else. These guys have been through hell for coming forward. You know, I know these guys. And you look at, like, for the Rendlesham Forest incident we're just talking about, this was witnessed by, you know, a dozen guys. And several of them came forward, including... you know, a commanding officer. And there are documents that have been published. And you've got people like the Secretary of Defense, or the Minister of Defense for Canada, who's on the record talking about this. Paul Hellyer, he's probably one of the most high-ranking guys on the record. I mentioned Rob Bigelow, billionaire owner of Bigelow Aerospace, went on 60 Minutes and said, aliens are here. The government's covering it up. You guys can look that up. That was just a few months ago. You've got the FBI and the CIA. Now, here's what concerns me. They have quietly disclosed thousands of UFO files on their website about 6 months ago.
How do you?
With no announcement, no media coverage. Anybody can go to CIA.gov or FBI.gov, click on the vault. It's the document vault. And
how does somebody, Michael, if I were to go to their vault site, how do I search for those things? Are there certain keywords? If I want to go and try to find some of these documents or even search for new ones, what do I search?
Well, you would literally just put in UFO or flying saucer, but I don't have it in front of me, which you might want to do because there are some good journalists who have good researchers who have dug into this and have gone through all these documents. You may want to just do a Google search for, like, the best
CIA documents.
You know, UFO documents released by the FBI and CIA.
You know, there was
something sort of curated.
There was something else I remember in the show. You showed Hillary talking about the UFOs. And
oh, yeah.
She called it something else. She didn't call them UFOs. It was like unexplained aerial something.
She actually got the name wrong. It's Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon. She said that's the new name. So, you know, people are like, well, why are you putting a Jimmy Kimmel clip in there? What does that prove? Well, here's what it proves. First of all, you've got a presidential candidate who's talking about the issue without ridicule. She's excited about it. Okay? That is major on its own. That shows a shift. And that this is now something that's being treated as a serious topic instead of the subject of ridicule. But even more importantly, she says the new name is UAP, not UFO. Well, guess what? You don't have new nomenclature for a phenomenon that doesn't exist, that isn't of any concern. You know, that's a little...
Yeah.
That should be obvious, you know? But... Well, you know, you've also got Obama on there making jokes about this, and we included that because, for me, he doesn't look like he's really joking. Looks like there's a lot of truth in there. And then you've got Bill Clinton, who is very eloquent, stating the statistical probability that we have been visited, even though he can't say it.
Do you think Trump knows all this? Do you think he knows about?
I know for a fact that he does. And I'm not at liberty to say too much, except that I really hope he does the right thing with it, because we are so divided right now. And whoever it is, whether it's Trump or the next president, whoever it is who brings out the free energy technology will go down as the greatest president in history.
This was talked about in the documentary, and it's a controversial point. I mean, the whole thing is controversial. Let's not kid ourselves. But this energy thing, what is that?
Okay, so great question, and I'll try to keep it really concise. Going back 100 years to Nikola Tesla, all right, not Tesla the car company, but Nikola Tesla the inventor, we've had a number of inventors who have created something called zero-point energy or free energy devices. And these have been ruthlessly suppressed. If you're an inventor, one of these, the men in black suits show up at your door. They say, this is a threat to national security. They slap it with a national security order. They seize it. And that's if you're lucky. A lot of these guys have ended up dead. Now, why is that? Why would zero-point energy be such a threat? Well, we talk about free energy. It's not just about, as we say in the film, keeping the lights on in your house or running your car without gasoline. 99% of the cost of making anything, whether it's an iPhone or a skyscraper, anything that you want to build or growing food, anything that humans want to create, 99% of the cost is the energy that goes into it. You've got to pull the raw materials out of the ground. You've got to ship them. You've got to process them. You've got to assemble it. You've got to ship it again. I mean, there's so many steps. If you bring the cost of energy to zero, and you're talking about literally pulling energy out, clean energy, out of the fabric of space-time, completely unlimited, with no pollution, you're talking about bringing the cost of manufacturing and agriculture to zero. So what happens in a supply and demand economy when supply goes to infinity, right? You're talking about having endless abundance for everybody on the planet. And a base standard of living where everyone's living like a millionaire. And, you know, the people who have been managing this planet, they don't want to lose their position as the ones in charge. And in order to maintain their position, they have to maintain this sort of petrodollar system, this sort of oil empire. If you bring everyone up to the same level of abundance, we have to have a whole new economic system because our dollar right now is literally tied to energy. So right now, if you want to evaluate the cost of a good that you're selling, it's really the energy that went into it that, you know, is going to determine that cost. I don't know what a post-free energy economy looks like, except that, you know, it's going to be great for everybody. And that is why this has been so ruthlessly suppressed.
What, Patrick? Hang on a second, Michael.
Have too many. He said too much for me to even start with.
Well, like, go ahead.
Just go ahead and start. We've got him.
First of all, trust me, Michael's heard all of them.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. So, first of all, that was where you really lost me because I enjoyed the first 2/3 of the documentary until we got to this point. And then I felt like you made a lot of unsubstantiated claims. I don't disagree that there's some suppression of free energy technology. I don't understand why. I think it's a different topic. I think it was crammed into the end of the documentary.
Like it should have been a total different documentary?
Yes, I feel like it muddied the water.
But
the other part is, I completely disagree with the statement that 99%, it's not 99%. It's at best probably 65%. But, you know, we're acting like there's no such thing as labor cost, ingenuity cost, all these kind of things that go into it. But I do think the world would be a better place with free energy, but I also think it's very pie in the sky to say that everyone would suddenly have everything. No, because labor is still a factor, and people still have to create things, and, you know, no one's going to work for free, no one's going to do things for each other.
Well, no one knows what it is because it's not here.
I agree. I just think that was where the documentary really went off the rails, when it started saying this was we could overnight become Star Trek, where everyone has everything and gets along.
That is a totally fair criticism. That is totally fair criticism. Let me just say two things. First of all, I agree that a lot of things, not just feel crammed in this documentary. You know, we had certain points that we had to touch on in order to tell what we felt was a full story, and so nothing got the real in-depth treatment that we wanted it to get. So we're hoping people go out there and continue to explore these ideas. The reason we included free energy technology is that this is part of the reasons why they do not disclose the existence of UFOs. It's not that they think that people are going to panic. It's that eventually they're going to say, well, what are the technologies? How are these UFOs getting here? You know, and they're not filling up with Exxon gasoline and jetting across the universe. They have these zero-point energy devices, and they're basically just pulling what they need from the fabric of space-time. But I'll give you an example of how ZPE would change things, zero-point energy would change things. I live in California, and we have a drought right now. Why on earth does California have a drought? Water should be our number one export. We've got something called the Pacific Ocean sitting on my doorstep. Well, the reason we don't do desalinization is that it's just too expensive. It's too the energy to run that makes it a futile
cost prohibitive. Yeah,
absolutely, it's cost prohibitive, and that's an excellent example. I just felt like the food would be free and everyone would have everything they ever needed. I felt like that was just from 0 to 60 way too fast with that.
It wouldn't be free, but because again, you have to factor in an intellectual property and a little bit of human labor. But you're talking about not having any restriction at all I'll give you an example. We have technologies that can turn, you know, dry desert into fertile farmland. We don't use them because it's just too expensive. It's the energy to do so is so incredible. It's just too expensive. We're sitting on a lot of technologies like the desalinization, like the one I just mentioned, that would allow us to produce a lot of food or a lot of water or really scale manufacturing in a big way. But energy is the main cost.
Have you seen the work being done? I can't think of the name of the guy who ran 5-Hour Energy. Can you Google that for me, Bubba?
The guy who.
I know you're talking about. I saw a little bit of what he's doing. I saw the documentary.
So he's investing money in desalination technology to make it cheaper and in ways to improve energy creation and things like that. And you know what? That came out 2 years ago, and I thought, wow, this guy's doing amazing things with his money to try to improve the world. And then
it got quiet.
Real quiet, like all of a sudden, you know. So I'm not saying there's not something to what you're saying. I just I appreciate that you explained why it had to be included. It just didn't connect for me. I felt like that was, you know, the other thing that I really was bothered by was a lot of the talk of Bluebeam and the possible false flag alien invasion. I thought, well, you just spent an hour explaining to us that aliens are real, and now you're telling me, but if we ever see aliens, be weary because they might not be real. So,
well, and that's what's so disappointing and frustrating about when you jump into studying this. It's not simple, right? And it's deliberately very confusing. So we've got a document we put in the movie. It's from the CIA director at the time. to the psychological strategy board of the CIA, and he's saying, you know, there's a lot of psychological warfare implications for you, for these flying saucers. So what does that mean, right? What does that mean? Well, the Pentagon has something like a $4 billion psychological warfare budget. And so basically we are paying the government to manipulate us psychologically. It's really fantastic. And that is, that's not a secret. That's published in their budget.
Yay!
Like $4 billion.
Sweet.
So, you know, it's fantastic stuff. I won't use the term brainwashing because that just sounds terrible. I'll say psychological manipulation.
Okay.
What they were doing, what we describe in this film, and what we've had Dr. Greer had so many witnesses say this to him, but this was the first time he could get someone on camera talking about it. That's why this interview with Richard Doty in the film was a huge milestone for the Disclosure Project. He talks about how they would, you've got very compartmented operations within the military and the intelligence communities where they would get people with some kind of physical deformity and dress them up as aliens and go out and scare the hell out of people. It sounds absolutely
I want to be one of those people.
But it's actually pardon?
I want to be one of those people going out scaring people.
What a great job.
Yeah.
Right? But it actually, when you start digging into it, it actually explains so much of the phenomena that people have been reporting. You know, you've got thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who have reported these terrifying abduction experiences. And you've also got thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who have experienced really beautiful, transcendent contactee experiences. And so the position that Dr. Greer takes is that the positive experiences, where they feel like spiritual experiences almost, those are with genuine extraterrestrials. And the ones that are terrifying are military operations as part of the psychological warfare. I know that it sounds crazy.
That sounds insane. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Hey, you know what
but,
I was?
Let me give you this, and then I'll shut up.
Oh no!
There is a program that Bill Clinton apologized for on TV. Okay, when he was president, even though he wasn't the one running it. It started in the 60s, and this has been covered by major newspapers and major journalists. The government has officially admitted to doing this, okay? The CIA was basically kidnapping people and drugging them. They also set up brothels in San Francisco, and they were secretly drugging people with LSD.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
This is called MKUltra, and what they were doing with their victims was trying to inflict as much pain and trauma. It went beyond just LSD. They would drug people, and then they would torture them. And they were trying to inflict so much pain that they could fracture their personality and reprogram them as mind-controlled secret agents. Now, that sounds like ridiculous, absurd, bad, just bad fiction, right? That just sounds like bad writing. But our government has admitted to this and has apologized for it. So if we accept that UFOs are real, which there's overwhelming evidence for, and we accept that we have had access to these technologies, which there's overwhelming evidence for, it's not that big of a leap to believe some of these whistleblowers and these documents that say, yeah, you know what? We're going to use this to our advantage, and we're going to do some bad stuff with it, and we're really going to mess with people because that's how we're going to control the public's understanding and attitude towards UFOs.
Michael, do you believe that that we are in a situation right now where like even this, I kind of feel like if you're accusing the government of this, that's where I go back to, are you part of that? That's where this whole thing kind of still feels like.
Or I would be dead?
Yeah.
My thing is, if the government's willing to kill people so easily, how is Dr. Greer still alive after 30 years of this?
Yeah, so that's a question that I had. It's a question that a lot of people have. And all I can say is that Steve is protected. He has very sophisticated protection in place. And he also has... there are people within the government that want to see him succeed. You know, when you talk about these groups of guys who are controlling these programs, you got to understand it's not one centralized thing. It's many different compartments within the military, within the defense industry, a lot of it's in the private sector, and within the intelligence community, and they're not necessarily all on the same page. They're totally off the rails, off the books, unacknowledged, you know.
Nice tie-in.
And they're not necessarily all, you know, coordinating. So you have some good people in these programs who want to see this stuff come out. They know that it was a mistake to keep it a secret. And
let me make a long point. You know, if it's the J.P. Morgans of the world that don't want this technology out there, why, if it's the, you know, because I have a problem with blaming it all on the rich petrochemical industry or something like that. I think it goes, if this technology does exist, I feel like the secret has to be bigger than that, because if those people know it's there and they're the ones suppressing it, why wouldn't they just take it and control it?
That's what they've done. They have built out,
but they haven't released.
They haven't used any
of
it. Yeah, I mean, if it was the military industrial complex,
they're using it for themselves, right? So, I'll give you an example. There was a woman in Catherine Austin 6. She was. You guys got to look her up. She was a major player on Wall Street, and she raised a bunch of money for Bush Senior, you know, to get him into the White House. And then she left Wall Street and moved to D.C. to work in his administration. And she became the second in command of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, which is the second largest budget item after defense. And what she discovered was that, because she was in charge of managing the budget, but what she discovered was that HUD was a multi-trillion dollar slush fund, and that none of the money was actually going to housing or urban development. But they were actually, you know, systematically draining communities of money. And it was all going into these black programs. And we're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars. So the point is, you know, $40 trillion, that's not just, as she puts it, it's not Ferraris and offshore villas mm-hmm. for corrupt politicians. That's enough to start your own civilization. And so... that's what these guys are sitting on. You know, Richard Dolan, who's a fantastic UFO researcher, he termed this a breakaway civilization. Now, I don't know exactly what this breakaway civilization looks like, but I know that you guys and I are not invited.
Well, who's going to have a radio show on their civilization?
I mean, they're going to be so bored.
Who's going to make movies for them?
So what are you implying? Right? That they're living, you know, that they're... I just don't understand.
They're ready to go ahead and colonize Mars without us is what he's kind of saying, is that they're about to break out and expand around the universe, and we're going to be stuck here on this little rock, and all of our eggs are going to be in this one basket.
Yeah, and they've been trying. They've been trying. I personally believe, and so does Dr. Greer, that we are under some kind of quarantine. You know, we're still sending rockets into space. I believe that there's a certain level of maturity as a species that you have to reach before you're allowed to go and play with the big boys and be an interstellar civilization. So I don't know how far these guys...
So you're almost saying that the aliens are keeping us down.
Yeah, that was going to be my next thing, is maybe it's not big business and the petrochemical industry and the J.P. Morgans of the world that are keeping this technology. Maybe the people if there are people in control keeping this from getting out, maybe it's because the aliens are forcing them to. Maybe this is a prime directive. Yeah, this is a prime directive type situation where we're not supposed to have this technology yet, and they don't want it out there.
I think it's both. And again, this is a little speculative on my part. I will admit that.
I think we can preface this by saying all of what we're kind of talking about is a little speculative.
Right. So, exactly. I believe that it's actually both. You do have, very, very powerful private sector interests that are colluding with compartments in the government. Again, we're not saying that the whole CIA or, everyone's in on it. No, it's very, very compartmentalized. And you have, like we say in the film, you have CIA directors that haven't been allowed to know about this. They will do a psychological profile on you as the president, as the CIA director. And if you have an inclination to disclose this stuff, you are not going to have any access to this information. So you've got private sector businesses colluding with factions of the government, and these are the ones who these are the people who, let's face it, it's the same group of people who own the media, who own the defense companies, who own the oil companies, who own the pharmaceutical companies, who own the banks. It's the same group of people. And you can call them, people will say, oh, it's the Illuminati, it's the cabal, whatever you want to call it. It really doesn't matter. But these are the people who have maintained power for a very long time. And this kind of disruptive information, not just about zero-point energy and interstellar travel and anti-gravity, but also some of the spiritual implications of this, which we haven't really gotten into, that is a major threat to maintaining their power.
And I think to me, as far as spiritually, aliens just continue to prove that man is so arrogant that we think we're the only ones in the universe, and it almost proves God even more to me.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm sorry, you can't think of quantum physics and really dive into it without realizing that, in a way, that proves God. It more or less disproves the geniuses of our time, the Einsteins, and says, you know what? This is stuff that even they couldn't understand. It got us. They pointed us in the right direction, but there's some intelligent design here.
Let me ask this. Something else we discuss a lot on this show and on the podcast, you mentioned there's a part of the documentary where you say, we have the technology to bring E.T. home. And that was from the guy who said that was saying it in the 50s. So he wasn't talking about the movie.
And he was the head of Lockheed.
Yeah. So we have the technology to travel space. We just don't let anyone know if we're doing it.
Oh, I like
there's
the
been
way
a lot
you worded
made
that.
About the, whether or not the moon landings were faked. Do you think that whole thing is
a cover?
Is a cover? Like, because people are so skeptical of that now. I hear people all the time say, oh, we're not going to be going to Mars or anywhere else. The Van Allen belt. And the moon landing was fake. And, if we can't even, we went to the moon and then we haven't been back in over 40 years.
My opinion. That's an awesome question. And I've done a tremendous amount of research into this. And, there's two positions. It's the story as it's been given to us, right, through the media and NASA. You take it at face value. Or the whole thing was fake and we never went to the moon. I think that there is a third perspective, which is we did go to the moon and we were asked to leave. And most of the footage that we saw, not all of it, but most of it, was staged. It was staged for two reasons. Number one, they couldn't show us what was really there. There are just too many high-level witnesses who have come forward talking about these major structures on the moon. There are just too many of them. And many of them are in the Disclosure Project archives. You can go to the Disclosure Project YouTube page and watch. Absolutely incredible.
Hold on, Michael. Stop.
Michael, hang on.
Yeah.
Okay, what? There's what on the moon?
Major structures.
There are
major structures.
Who absolutely. And who's saying? Like astronauts are saying this?
Yeah, you've got astronauts. You've got NASA contractors who have. There was one woman. What's her name? It'll come to me. She's one of the Disclosure Project witnesses, and she was in the photo lab at NASA, and they were airbrushing out UFOs and structures on the moon, and they said, oh, yeah, we always have to airbrush them out before we give them to the public.
Okay, so why can't we see these with a telescope?
Well, part of it is that we have the same side of the moon that is always facing us. Here's a real mind trip for you.
Oh, okay? God. Okay, go ahead.
All right?
Yes.
Back in the 70s, you had a Soviet scientist from the Soviet Academy of whatever. They came out and they said, the only logical explanation for the moon is observational error. Meaning when we look up at the sky, we think we see the moon. It's not really there. Because this thing is too big. It's too close to us. There's no sound theory of how this thing came to be. And unlike any other moon that we've observed in the solar system, the same side is always facing us. So they concluded that this had to be some kind of artificial structure.
I've actually heard
All right. And you know, we go through our lives and say, oh, it's just the moon. We don't question it. There's so much that we haven't questioned. What is this giant ball up there? So this is either like some kind of space station or I don't know what it is, but it has been put there very deliberately. And there are bases on the backside of the moon. Now, every other moon, it spins normally. You get to see all sides. With our moon, it's always the same side. And, you know, during an eclipse, it lines up perfectly with the sun. What are the statistical chances of that happening if this was just a random event?
We talked about that with the eclipse. You know, the moon is 1/400th the size of the sun. It's also exactly 400 times closer to us than the sun.
Yeah.
The statistical chances of that happening, and you know, are just mind-boggling. It doesn't happen anywhere else in the known galaxy.
But
that
see,
we
that's
can
where
see.
I always go. That's God.
You know. Are there any other planets or moons or whatever that don't spin?
No. Our moon is the only one that behaves that way. It's
in our solar system.
Unique. Yeah. So that we've observed, as far as I know.
But you know what? There's a lot of science that says the fact that our moon and our planet are basically almost twin planets, not necessarily a planet and a moon. But the fact that is what makes the Earth's rotation so stable. The Earth is the only planet in the solar system that rotates as stably as it does with legitimate seasons and with a stable atmosphere, not just because of our distance to this from the sun, which we always is the number one reason, but also because of the moon. If the moon hadn't been there keeping our rotation stable and keeping our atmosphere and our tide stable, none of us would be here. So
correct.
Okay,
so if you had super advanced, intelligent, you know, ET civilizations billions of years more advanced than us, and they wanted to seed life on another planet, maybe that's how you do it.
So you're saying Earth might have been terraformed billions of years ago, and they transformed it into this beautiful paradise that we have that we get to enjoy, and that it's possible that we were seeded and planted here?
I think it's very possible. I don't know. I wasn't there. But it would. All we know for certain is that there has been an ET presence going back to the very beginning of human interaction or human existence on this planet.
What about if we're going to go there, then what about, you know, everybody's watched Ancient Aliens, you can't not watch it. What if the aliens were God? What if the aliens and you know, is that, I mean, because you're talking about,
I just can't go there. I just can't do
no,
that.
No, but why not? Why not saying
that? I just can't.
I'm not saying
because
aliens as little green men or gray men or whatever it is being, but what if they exist because, well, that is God. God is an alien, and he put us here. That's basically what he said, but without using God, by just saying aliens. I'm just wondering if it's all kind of tied together.
Well, here's the thing. Then who created the aliens? You know, I think that something that was not discussed in the film but will be discussed in the next one in depth is, you can't really understand UFOs and aliens without understanding the nature of consciousness and spirituality. So when we retrieve these crashed UFOs that we have shot down, by the way, it's not that you know, super advanced interstellar civilization is, you know, taking a wrong turn or running out of gas. You know, we shoot these things down with Tesla type weapons.
So Roswell, you think we shot that craft down?
Oh, absolutely. We were. It says in the Guy Hotel document, the FBI document that's addressed to J. Edgar Hoover, that we put in the film, which is the number one document viewed on the FBI website, that we were experimenting with a new radar gun. Now, that's a euphemism for what we were really playing with. And but anyway, I don't want to get too sidetracked. When we retrieve these craft, first of all, the metals are so pure that we could not replicate them even in a vacuum in space. And there are no rivets or seams or anything like that. It's like these things are one piece. It's one seamless piece. And by the way, that's how you tell the difference between an ET craft and a human craft. The human craft, the alien reproduction vehicles, as they're called, the ones that our military and that our defense companies build, those will have seams and rivets and, you know, because they are assembled. But the reason why the true ET craft don't have that, and the reason why the metal is so pure, is that these are not assembled in an alien factory, right? These are literally, it's kind of hard to articulate, but it's literally manifested out of the sort of quantum field of potentiality through consciousness-assisted technologies, meaning they are, the consciousness of these ETs is being amplified and directed in a way through technology to literally manifest a vehicle around them so that they can enter third
basically
dimension.
What he's
that
saying
sounds,
is,
that sounds
is everything is as it is, yeah, because we think it is. That's quantum theory.
That, yeah, sounds plausible until I go back to the fact that you said we shot it down. So if they're able to use
quantum theory and, yeah, think things into fruition, then, yeah, they should be able to defend themselves.
Pretty outrageous to think that we shot it down with 1947 technology.
Well, we're not aiming weapons. It's not like we're aiming something at them and they can't dodge a bullet. There is actually footage, which I believe you guys were discussing when I heard your first interview or your first discussion on this. You can see from the space station, you can see the
STS-41, I think it was, or 48. I always forget what number it is. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about now. The space shuttle footage.
They don't get hit by that. But when you start messing around with, and again, Dr. Gurr is way more knowledgeable on the scientific aspect of it than I am. But you're basically messing around with scalar is what it's called. And what this did was it messes with the navigation systems of some of the craft. Again, it's different species, different civilizations. So at Roswell, for example, it was actually three craft that crashed into each other because we were messing around with these scalar weapons. And it screwed up their navigation systems. Well, they didn't make that mistake again. But, you know, as we started back engineering a lot of this technology, we reached technological parity with these ET civilizations. So we have some technology that can match some of theirs, which is why we're able to shoot them down, because while they're using it for you know, peace, and just having an abundant civilization, we've weaponized it. All right? We've taken zero-point energy and all these other things, and we've weaponized it. So that's how we're able to shoot these things down.
We've gotten using
their own technology.
We've gotten so deep into this. For those who are listening or watching, how are you getting this? Don't let... let this let your eyes glaze over off all this, because this is really this is like camping conversation. This is like when you get the guys together, you talk about right.
Yeah.
You're sitting at the stars. Whoa, what do you think? So, don't let all that get by you, and you miss the point, the fact that there are alien beings and aircraft or spacecraft that do come to our planet, and our government knows about it, and they have been doing it for a long time. And there are people who are legitimate, and they have everything to lose by telling you what they've seen, but they do it anyway. I can tell you, if you trust, you don't know all those people. You don't know the people. I'm a general so-and-so. I'm the head of blah, blah, blah. You don't know those people, so instinctively you don't want to trust them. You know, if you're a listener to our show and the network, you know me, Big D, and I can tell you firsthand, one of my best friends in my whole life has seen two of them. One went across when he was on the back patio, back deck of my house when we were in high school. He said it looked, he goes, for lack of a better description, it looked like the Millennium Falcon. And he said, I could see underneath it, and it was silent, and it was slowly moving, and I could see all the stuff under, it's Jeremy, all the stuff underneath it. I could see all the, like, the pipes or the construction of whatever up underneath it, and it went slowly and just kept going. It went out of sight. And he said, but that's not the most amazing one that I've seen. He said, I sat on a patio or a deck with a friend of mine after lunch, and we're on these rocking chairs, sunny summer afternoon, looking, overlooking a valley. And he said, out of the a 45-degree angle, as you're looking out, like, say, if you're looking out onto the valley, what would be at, like, your 10 o'clock position, he said, at a 45-degree angle and coming in at an unbelievable rate of speed was some sort of light. It came in, and he said it flew in so fast, D, and then it just stopped on a dime. Pop! And he goes, and what I saw was like the sun. It was a round, orangish, blazing, bright light. And he said, then it went and it zigzagged back and forth for, he said, probably a few seconds, just really fast, like, and then it shot at a 45-degree angle back up to, like, the 2 o'clock position and went out of space.
And arguably, this is one of the smartest people you know.
Oh, and maybe the most straight-laced person we know. Like, this guy, I mean,
serious,
and you
man
know what?
Of God, like, he's a...
And you know what he said? He said, I was with this guy, and as that happened, and we were both, like, hitting each other on the shoulder, like, oh, but did you see that? Oh, my, what was that? My? And he said, at that time, because we were waiting on a guy, he goes, it was actually the pastor of his church, was driving up the driveway when it happened. And Jeremy says, I ran down there and was there at his car before he even stopped it. And I'm going, dude, did you see that? And he's like, no, I didn't see anything. Because it all, because you know, cars you can't see sometimes. He goes, I didn't see any. What happened? And he tells him what happened, and the what was that?
I crushed a can.
Oh, okay.
Just I was letting you tell your story. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Golly, man, why you do that?
What? I live my life. You keep telling your story.
I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. So anyway, what was I saying?
He goes to the car. He says,
did
you
see
that?
He goes, I didn't see anything. And he goes, dude, he talks to the guy he's with. He goes, tell him what happened. And the guy goes, I don't know. It could have been anything. You ready to eat lunch?
Yep. Because we don't want to be the guy who saw the UFO.
He goes, I couldn't believe he did that. And he said, that's when I realized not everyone's going to take this. And I said,
exactly.
Yeah.
You're see, exactly I want right. to see something. I remember that one time I saw something, but it was coming into work. It was early, like 4:30 in the morning, and I saw something, but I couldn't tell if it was, you know, sometimes you can see the space station, you know, moving across. That's kind of what I think it was, but I didn't really know. I never saw it change trajectory. I just saw it just kind of tracking across the sky. And I mean, again, I know the difference between an airplane and a star and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Was it the shuttle or the space station? The shuttle at the time was up. It could have been anything. But I did see something, but I don't want to say it was an alien craft. I just saw something moving.
But I think we're to the point where people are open to it. And that's the reason why we spent so much time on it. And I don't care. I mean, I think everyone goes, yeah, there's other people out there. We took it pretty far today.
Yeah.
But
we took it about as far as you could.
But I'm telling you, what I'm saying is don't let all that get lost on you. The simple fact is there are aliens. They do exist. They do come visit. And we have some of their technology.
And if you want to know why we're talking about this so much, you should go watch Unacknowledged on Netflix.
Yeah, Unacknowledged. It's on Netflix. And Michael's the director of it and did a great job, by the way. I thought it was done very well. And may I say quickly, real quick, we talked about how is Michael working for the government? Is Dr. Greer working for the government? And this is all kind of a ploy and all that kind of stuff. I don't believe that. But I do think this. There is another documentary on Netflix about aliens, and it is god-awful. It is one of the
worst.
Do not
confuse the two.
It is one of the – I can't remember the name of it, but it's so terrible. It's about a guy who gets visited, and he's like, this guy has had more visitations than anybody. There's more, and he has all this stuff.
Stan Romanek.
It's so awful. There's a point, like, I wanted to believe. And there's a point where, like, he has video of, like, an alien who pops his head up or something. And I went,
are you out of his door?
Yes,
like,
did
like
you
he
see
pops
that?
His head around the patio door.
I went, are you kidding me?
Yes, it's terrible.
That's when I go, is this part of the government? Is the government putting that out so that we discredit it?
So that we discredit it? Yeah.
Because it was so terrible. I stopped watching.
Can I ask a practical question, Michael? Do you have any numbers on how many people have seen Unacknowledged? Do you get reports from Netflix that tell you how many people have streamed the movie?
No, Netflix hasn't released those numbers, but I do know that it is one of the top trending films on Netflix right now. But they will not release the official number. So we're really happy that the message is getting out there. We didn't expect anyone to say, oh, I'm totally convinced about every point in the film. You know, we just want to convince people that there's enough there that they need to start asking questions and being skeptical, whether it's about the existence of aliens or the reliability of the media or about some of the psychological warfare stuff that we talk about towards the end. So,
that was
our sincere hope. And can I add one quick thing?
Yeah.
I just want to say to any of our military service members listening out there, thank you for your service. And if anyone is interested in becoming a whistleblower, please know that because these unacknowledged special access programs are illegal, your secrecy oaths are null and void. And you can safely come forward and you can contact Dr. Greer at SiriusDisclosure.com. I want to say that.
SiriusDisclosure.com. Well, you know, we have a lot of, you know, we're on AFN and we're around the world and, you know, we have a lot of people listen to us.
Possibly on the space station. We never got confirmation on that.
Yeah, Two Fish never would tell us any. But we have, you know, a lot of guys who listen to us and gals who listen to us at Skunk Works and who are part of that. You know, in the desert, and they're at Edwards, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's an other, you know, bases as well. So, you know, listen, you reach out, and that's what you need to do. You need to do it.
We're going to be off the air by Monday.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm shocked our whole that show, let us keep
like,
going.
I'm surprised we still have a connection to the internet right now. I mean, this is
crazy. Guys, this weekend, y'all call me every 15 minutes.
Okay, we'll do. Call or text. Hey, that shuttle film that we were talking about earlier, it was STS-48. I just want to mention that in case somebody wants to Google it. It's the film of the, did we shoot at some craft or whatever? You'll see it, STS-48, Discovery Space Shuttle back in 91 or whatever it was. And it's pretty. It's pretty crazy.
It is crazy for sure.
And that is our Star Wars weaponry from Reagan. You know, they did give Reagan some information on the program, but only enough, and twisted in a way where he would approve. You know, the weaponization of space. So they said, "Oh yes, they're real, but they're a huge threat, and we need a $1 billion to arm up." You know, it's scary, guys. Thank you for having me on.
No,
yeah,
thank you.
Thank you, Michael. We appreciate it. Again, Unacknowledged on Netflix. Check it out. And, hey, have a good Labor Day weekend, man.
You too, guys.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye. That's some greatness, man. There's so
that.
Much crazy in this, in this podcast.
I'm actually scared that the government is on.
Dude, if you see a cable truck in your neighborhood, fear for your life.
Yeah, they're not fixing your power. They're not on that pole just to sit there and fix it. No, they're listening to your us.
If something happens to my plane on the way to Jamaica, avenge me.
We will.
Okay.
We'll be on the air talking nothing about it, just to be about you.
I'm just saying.
We're playing old clips of you.
Scared the crap out of me.
Is that scary? Does that scare you?
Shit, man. Excuse me. You don't think the government... You think the government can get us? Like, seriously, we're the AFN guys. Someone's listening.
Yeah.
Someone's listening that's not happy about
someone's going, or
that whole podcast.
Or they are happy. No. Or they are, because you don't know.
Hey, I just want to say for the record, this is Patrick, and I'm the one who likes the government and thinks everything is fine.
I'm Bubba, and I love the government.
You guys are this big.
I'm Patrick, totally down.
Alien. It's not going to be the government that gets you. It's going to be cholesterol.
The podcast this week brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Thousands of people are killed in drunk driving crashes every year. If you've been drinking, plan to go drinking, heck, if you're drinking right now, get a ride, call a cab.
I need a drink.
Drive sober or get pulled over. That was amazing. That was absolutely amazing. And I'm going to play this again because I still think that Bill Clinton said it, and I want to play it one more time. And maybe I'm not the only one. Let me find it here. The short.
Where he says, Bubba thinks that he says that I believe that there were aliens.
Listen to this.
Or
listen,
was.
Listen, this is Bill Clinton.
I'm convinced that that wasn't a UFO, but.
Bubba thinks all he hears is was.
I hear
clearly
I'm convinced
wasn't.
That was a UFO.
I'm convinced that that wasn't a UFO, but.
Even your little mind
knows?
Trick of saying it before you play it that makes your mind think that you heard it didn't even work. I still hear wasn't.
Dude, I hear was. I don't hear wasn't.
You listen closely here. Listen.
I'm convinced
wasn't.
that wasn't a UFO, but
thanks, Michael, for joining us. Again, watch Unacknowledged on Netflix. Make up your own mind. I'm just glad that we could bring that to you. That was super cool of him to spend so much
time
with
us. Very awesome of him. So thank you, Michael.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
I'm convinced that that wasn't a UFO.
Wasn't.
Who knows?
Who knows?